I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. And if you've got a Bible, I will wait till you get it opened to that Ephesians 2. And if you haven't got a Bible, when you go home, take it down from the shelf or wherever it might be, and just read these two verses kindly. I would appreciate that. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Maybe I'll repeat. Not of works, lest any man or any one should boast. That's all we're going to read tonight, and I trust that these two texts, 27 words actually, to gather these two texts, that might be registered in your mind at least some very important points. I have four little thoughts in my mind, and very simple, very basic. If I'm very simple, I'll take that against myself in the presentation of the message. That is that Paul writing here to the Ephesians is reminding them of the gospel that reached them in Ephesus. When it went into that idolatrous city, and the gospel that he preached, and now he's reminding them how they got saved. And he sums it up very simply in 27 words. And they're running back in their mind, they're reminiscing, and they're going back as they're reading this epistle of the Ephesians with this beautiful truth. And no doubt as they come to those two verses, it captures in their soul again the tremendous truth of what reached them when they were in their sins. And these two texts, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, is really the submission of the gospel in all its simplicity and in all its reality. Now the four words I want to pick up are very simple. You'll take them with you, I hope. The word saved. And don't be afraid of that word. The word grace. Thirdly, we want to look at the word gift. And lastly, the word faith. That's really what our gospel embraces every night. It circles around those four basic truths. That is, the word saved, the word grace, the word gift, and the word faith. You see, friend, tonight, we must recognize that this Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, marks very clearly and definitely the word saved. And we're in good company when we preach a text like this. For Moses spoke away back in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament when he looked at Israel. He said, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee? O people saved, saved of the Lord. And Isaiah the prophet waxes very eloquent in his writing that great text that we often preach from. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. But remember again that Peter picks it up so clearly in his preaching in Acts 4:12. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So again, we're in the company of Moses and in the company of Isaiah the great prophet. We're in the company of Peter the fisherman who preached so definitely and so far as saved. But remember, Paul takes up that language a number of times. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, our brother has referred to it earlier. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And remember John the apostle, the man that leaned on the bosom of Christ, who felt the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus. You remember what he said when he looked at that beautiful city coming down from God out of heaven? And he said, the nations which are saved shall walk in the light of it. So from Genesis to Revelation, we span the 66 books and find constantly we come to the word saved. But thank God, even if we didn't have a Moses or an Isaiah or a Peter or a John or a Paul, thank God we're in the greatest company in the universe, preaching saved. For the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. John 10:9. That's why the chart is up to show you. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Could I halt a wee moment? Are you saved? Now I'm not asking you what church you go to. And I'm not asking you, my friend, have you some emotional experience? And I'm not asking you about your life, good living or otherwise. But I do ask you, in the name of the one we represent, are you saved? You know, everyone that's going to heaven, they'll go back constantly, continually. And excuses if you think we're getting old, going back and going back and going back. No, we're just enjoying what happened so many years ago. My friend, it's as clear as a bell that moment when God saved us, or rescued us, or delivered us. Can you go back to that, friend? Now, I just want to write over the word saved, one little expression. Don't miss it. Have you got that? Don't miss it. You could accumulate millions. You could make it in the world, friend. You could have a great education. You could be a brilliant scholar. You could have a great giant intellect. You could have it made as far as this world's concerned. But friend, if you miss being saved, you've missed the great purpose in the very heart of God. Listen to it. God will have all men to be saved. My friend, how sad, how tragic to go through life and miss the great purpose. You know, I've often stopped in preaching and said, what are you trying to get across to the audience? Are they getting anything? Are they picking up any basic truth? Any points that the Holy Spirit could charge home to them? Friend, God didn't put you on earth to make money. And he didn't put you on earth to have a family. That wasn't the prime thing. Those are the little perks that are put into it. Life. But friend, the purpose, the main purpose, the prime purpose was that God might save you and that you may prepare for heaven. You know, I tell you, when I walked down at a great cemetery way down to where I live, near to where I live, you ever come through I'll take you if you want to go. But I went down one day, a beautiful sunny afternoon. I don't often do this. In fact, very rare do it. Unless I'm going to a funeral, I went down to the cemetery. But I went down, it was a lovely day. It was an old wrecked type of cemetery. The grass was growing up everywhere. The stones were old. The moss was covering the stones. And I went down there and I thought, well, I'll look at some of the dates on these tombstones. And I found 1795 and 1870 and 1904 and all that. So I started to look at what was red, what they had inscribed and etched on the granite tombstone. There's a couple I really appreciated. There were nice, some nice texts on them. There's one had he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But I never could get one that I don't know what made me start my step, and I couldn't see with the moss round the etched stone, the letters that was etched in the stone. And I took a piece of stick, a little stick, and I took off the moss. Letter by letter by letter by letter. And I stood down, the tears took my face as I stood. Beautiful day it was in May. A great sinner. Saved by a greater Savior. Thank God.
As the Lord comes now in the brightness of this May day, here someone will come out before them. Rise first, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, my friend tonight, are you saved? Can you really say it, friend? I don't ask you about religion or emotional experiences. Can you say, yes, I am saved? So someone you're talking about being saved, what does it really mean? Listen, basically, simply means saved from. I could be saved physically from a burning building. I could be saved from drowning in the water. But friend, what it means biblically and spiritually means I'm saved from sin's penalty. I'm saved from sin's power. And the day will dawn when Christ comes, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. It means, my friend, a real deliverance. And I hope tonight you'll understand you need it and don't miss it. Don't miss it, friends. For by grace are you saved. S-A-V-E-D. Do you remember what it says of the Lord Jesus? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jehovah the Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the problem of our world, friend. That's your problem. Maybe you haven't faced it. Maybe you say, well, I don't think I'm such a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned. And maybe someone says, well, look, I wouldn't do what others do. Well, I hope you don't do what others do. But friend, in God's estimation, he reads the very heart of every human being and he sees all the potential to commit any sin in the book. You don't believe that, I know that. But I've lived now 61 years. And I was saved at 20, coming in my 21st year. Yet I know today as I stand in this platform, here's the death, I have a potential. Absolutely. In fact, you know, the nearer I get to glory, the more I recognize what I can see. Sin, friend. Corruption. Evil. Sin. Oh, says someone, don't talk about sin. You know, imagine poison sitting in your shelf. And somebody says, I don't like the word poison. You know, it doesn't look nice. I hate to see that word poison in the bottle. I change it to wintergreen. And you get a little sticky, and somebody puts a wintergreen across it. And somebody in the house needs something to help them. They go, oh, that looks pretty good. Wintergreen, that would be, you know, huh? See the stupidity of changing the name? Don't change the name sin to any other name. Sin. That's the whole problem with humanity, humankind. That's the barrier between the soul and God. That's, my friend, why God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's why the Bible says, be sure, your sin will find you out. That's why, friend, the Bible says, indeed, very clearly, were first by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, death passed upon all men. For all of sin. Saved. Are you saved tonight? So someone, that word saved, that's alright, I'll follow you in that. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, friend. There are people who aren't saved in our world. There are people saved in this meeting. And I know to look at you, that you've had a time and you're saved. You know, there's something about a Christian, I don't know what you think, but there's something about a Christian, answers to a Christian. I went down shopping malls, and those big malls in the States sometimes, and I feel lost in the midst of all. I'm a little country boy, and I feel lost in the midst of all the tremendous milling crowds and masses. And sometimes I feel just like stop and say, are you serious? Like to be a Christian. I've done it a few times, and sometimes it worked, and most times it doesn't. They look at it as if you come from Mars. But anyway, that's all right. That's all right to say. I've gone to people and said, are you saved? One time I'll turn around and say, yes, sir, I'm going to heaven. Wonderful. Wonderful. I tell you, I like to meet that person. No matter where, friend, passing or putting in for gas, and you give a little track out. I've seen it happen. And he said, would you take the pastor's track? I'm going to heaven. I just like the pastor go, oh, and I'm going to heaven too. Nice when you hear that. My friend saved. Are you saved? Now listen, friend, am I, if you think I'm too repetitive, I'll take that against myself. I've done this a little hard.
When did it happen? How did it happen?
Right. Down the side, right from the front.
When did it happen? Where did it happen? How did it?
Eh? I'm saved. Don't miss it if you're not. So someone will say, how does this come about?
Like this. Listen, friend. Please get this little word. Not only don't miss it, but you don't deserve it.
Grace tells me just a very simple, basic truth. That no man, no woman, ever born into our world deserve this salvation. That's why this beautiful word stands out, grace. Grace. I was preaching in Jackson, Michigan. A little fellow was sitting up front every night, little eyes dancing out of his head listening. And,
Captain Murray.
And, one night was preaching, he was writing. And a little piece of paper. And then he turned over his Bible. I said, that's grand.
He's not listening tonight. He's writing and writing.
Little fellow, but chubby little face, cute little fellow, you could have hugged him. And there he was. And, you know, the neat, he handed me this little piece of paper.
I wonder what it was. And the brown at the back, I said, look at that. That is one of the preaching ideas. So we thought it was Mr. Hull. Is the Christian doing something?
And he marked down the first time you get grace in the Bible. That's when he's looking up the Bible dictionary at the back.
And he got Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah. And he went right through and he was getting me the 50s. And he went right through. Yeah, little fella. I said, wonderful. Oh, grace, man, what does it mean? We don't deserve it. No man, no woman merits it. You can't work yourself up to find favor with God and say, Lord, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better.
You know, so many people in this meeting, and I believe this, and I've taken a shot, a good adventure. Listen, you'll be out here every night because you know that you're not saved. And you're not saved. And I hope God will etch it upon your soul. Don't miss it. Stand there. You don't deserve it.
No person ever deserved salvation. It's by free sovereign grace. That's why the Bible says the grace of God appeareth unto all men. Titus chapter 3. My friend, God has come down to our world in marvelous, mighty, distinguishing grace to manifest to poor, undeserving sinners.
He wanted to save them, and they never deserved it.
I've challenged some people, I don't know about you, not often maybe I do it, but when I'm talking to them, why, what the heaven is, they're depending on this or that and the other thing, and you say to them, you're going to heaven?
Yeah.
You deserve to go?
Oh, yes. Yes. Uh-huh. I never heard a genuine believer say that you deserve to go to heaven. And I thought you don't use the time, I don't go to heaven. Going.
You know why, friend?
I've got God's salvation in the terms of free of grace.
You don't deserve it. You know, I'll tell you something more about this text. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God.
I only get that word gift. You know what that tells me? You don't bargain for it. You don't bargain for it. There's an awful lot of people who'd like to deceive you. You know what they like to do? Well, God's way up there, I'm going to bargain with it.
And you start the bargaining chips back and forth. Lord, I could see it tipped.
But God will not have any bargain.
Friend, you can't bargain for a gift. It's handed to you.
There's only one thing you can do.
Accept it. Take it. God's salvation is a free grace, friend. It is a gift. You can't.
Will I tell you something? You have nothing to bargain with. Nothing to bargain with. What are you going to bargain with to God about being saved, friend? You've nothing. You're bankrupt. You're lost. You're a sinner.
God says it. I'm not telling you what God doesn't say. I'm telling you what God says.
You can't bargain.
I preached in Woodland Drive a long number of years ago now. Time flies, 14 years, something like that. But I remember a dear man saying to you, the man in that meeting tonight is a millionaire. And when the man shook hands with me tonight, nice gentleman, very courteous, this dear man said to me tonight, you know what he's depending on? He gives 10,000 taxes that he can earn. He said, that's my body.
You have nothing to buy. God won't accept anything because we're sinners. We need to be saved. Don't miss it. It's by grace, my friend.
You don't deserve it. No one does. No one deserves it. And friend, it's a gift. You can't bargain for it. You can't. God will not accept it. He'll only give the gift on His terms. You know what they are? Take it.
Is that clear? I want to get to the last one very quickly. You can't work for it. It's by faith.
You know tonight, you don't need to be scholarly or brilliant or intelligent. That when it uses the word by faith, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's just telling us basically, faith is in contrast to works. And you can't work for it. Don't even try, friend.
I'll never forget Bobby Early, a chap in the old country. I hadn't seen him for 30 years. I wondered would I ever meet him again. I asked his friends where he had been. He said he'd gone to Canada. And had been out here, had got married and come out to this country of Canada. Actually headed for the west here. And somehow or other he couldn't pick up work and he headed back and his friends had lost track of him. And when we were having the meetings in Rathcrew, we put the meetings in every night in the Saturday night paper announcing the gospel meetings. All are welcome, no collections, as you know, but the way they have it. And then the two names of the speakers, Albert Hull and Albert McShane, Mr. Albert Hull and Mr. Albert McShane. I said to his friends who were attending the meetings, did you ever see Bobby Early around? He said, no, we've lost track of him. But one night when I looked down at that packed tent of 200, I looked down and I thought I saw a familiar face, even though it was 30 years. I said, that looks very like Bobby Early. I says, I'll give the boy very plain medicine tonight. He's an old friend of mine. I preached as plain and as pointed as I could. Tried to make it as clear.
But out of the meeting, she can't be Bobby. I said, it's so nice to see you. I said, you know, I preached my heart out to see you say it to me. What's the problem with that shape by you?
Nah. I said, wonderful. Well, I'm glad. I closed 4 or 5 years ago. I said, how did you get saved, Bobby? Well, he said, you remember when you were saved? I said, I remember.
He said, I knew it was the same in your life. I used to say to the boys, you know what Albert's got? I know he's religious, and I know he's a little fanatical, and all this sort of thing, you know, the way they talk behind your back. And he said, I always said, you know, whatever he has seems very real. He's happy. He's content. He doesn't need what we need to keep us going. never forget him telling me, he said, you know, there's this kind of the dirty get leaf books of philosophy, and I keep kind of starting to try this and that, but try to get some relief from a burden that constantly nags in my soul and mind. Then he said, I got my Bible at last and started reading. Because I was so despondent and so in despair, he said, I got into the car to drive to work, and there was a big bus in front of me, and the Armour Road Brethren had paid £1,000, I think, a year to put a text in that bus. And the text was, for by faith, by your faith, through faith, and that not of your sinning. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man do boast. Bobby said, you know something? Five stoplights, I come up behind that bus. And he said, finally the bus went to the left and I went down to the work. And he said, as I was driving into the parking lot, he said, I'll never forget. He said, Bobby, what else do you want as a gift? God has given me something back. He said, you know what? He said, right there, I just got it. He said, it's not a work. No effort of my own. It's all what Christ has done. Can I give him another hug? Oh, my friend, I tell you, say, are you saved tonight? For by grace. You can't, my friend, merit it. Are you saved? Don't miss it. It is a gift.
You can't bargain for it. And it's by faith. You can't work for it. Take God at His word. My time's gone 1 minute, but I wanted to say this. Just to help you see it for just a moment. I hear so many people talk, they say, maybe I'll miss it up. But listen. Most of you know my name, Albert Hall. It's on the invitation. Robert Nathalie. I don't know how many in this building know that I have grandchildren. Maybe don't look at grandfather, but I have. Listen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Don't be shocked. I have 9 grandchildren. There's some money you tell me that for. When they're all going to go home in about half an hour, say somebody meets you and says, where were you tonight? You say, well, I'm going to get a doctor meeting. You know, they come around about you. What do they tell you? Say you come out with what? That first man did say that he was a married man and 9 grandchildren.